unlock this door with a key of imagination. Beyond it, another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving to our podcast of both loss and substance, of mini-sodes and ideas. You've just crossed into the Courtside Zone.
It's that time again.
Watch out!
Here it comes.
Watch out!
Here it comes.
Watch out!
Here it comes.
Watch out!
Whoa! His name is Michael Jordan. On October 6, 1993, Jordan announced his retirement from the NBA, citing a loss of desire to play the game. Jordan later stated that the murder of his father earlier that year shaped his decision. Jordan's father was murdered on July 23, 1993. In his autobiography, For the Love of the Game, Jordan wrote that he'd been preparing for his retirement as early as the summer of 1992 and added that exhaustion due to the Dream Team during their run in the 92 Olympics solidified Jordan's feelings about the game and his ever-growing celebrity status. Jordan's announcement sent shockwaves through the NBA and appeared on front pages of newspapers around the world. Welcome to the Courtside Zone. What if Michael Jordan never retired?
Tough one. I mean, just the thought of someone of Jordan's stature in the game and what he's done, and, you know, especially for us growing up watching his airness, really a hard little topic to cover for me. But there's a couple of little things. I mean, you know, he did come out and say that his desire to play the game, you know, was tarnished by his father's murder. So if Jordan never retired, I'd have to assume that his father is still alive and that Isaiah Thomas was selected to the Dream Team. Jordan refuses to play for the Dream Team. Isaiah Thomas becomes this global star, or maybe even Barkley becomes the global star, and Jordan plays on. Here's a question I have for you. With the team they had, that 93 Bulls team, they just knocked off Barkley and the Suns, fresh off their three-peat, same roster, could they take down that Houston Rockets team?
Well, that's an interesting question, and in my notes, I've had to sort of question what sort of moves would the Bulls have made after that three-peat if Jordan hadn't retired. I mean, they would have made some. Would they have had a Ron Harper? Would they have kept a BJ Armstrong or traded BJ for something else? Or
Horace Grant's still there. He no longer bounces to Orlando.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Does Horace stay? I mean, it's such a... We're trying to look into a crystal ball, I guess, but I would have to say I can't see Jordan not beating the Houston Rockets. I just think he's the difference every time he plays in the NBA Finals.
I mean, we're talking Hakeem in his prime, you know, so the Bulls are basically going to have no answer for Hakeem, right?
Their answer's MJ.
Because, you know, the bigs they're throwing at Hakeem are going to be quite laughable. I mean, who are you throwing? Bill Wennington?
Well, do they get Longley?
Was Longley there at that stage? I think he was.
Well, they get him. They got Longley sort of halfway through 94, didn't they?
Yeah, you might be right.
So do they make it? So do they even make a trade for Longley? Do they try and get a defensive centre? I would hope they'd still go for Longley.
Does Jordan become the global icon still?
Oh, absolutely.
You don't think that the Dream Team helped push his name around the world?
It was already around the world. I mean, he was massive here before the Dream Team.
Yeah.
You know, growing up in Australia, it was just the Bulls and MJ everywhere. Just about every game of the week on Channel 10 was the Bulls taking on someone. Like, I've got here 5 titles, question mark, and I think so.
Yeah, right. See, I think they win the first one against Houston, so that takes their chips to 4 in a row. But that fifth one, I just feel like they burn out a little bit, because I really feel like that when Jordan did leave, Scottie Pippen needed the ego check.
Yeah, but also Pippen was...
I mean, they didn't do too bad without him. What, 55 wins...
Yeah, but Pippen was still in his prime. Like, this is, you know, MJ not retiring. Pippen is still in his prime. I mean, let's not forget how good Pippen was to help
But that's
him.
That's the thing, you know. MJ stays. The question marks of Scottie Pippen, you know, living in MJ's shadows grows and grows. I think after that Houston win, after that Houston title, they lose the second one. I think Pippen then bounces. His career takes a new turn. He leaves Chicago. You know, he's, as you said, he come into his prime. All these question marks and all these, you know, sideways jabs at Scottie Pippen, not taking anything away from your game. But I think he leaves a little bit earlier to take the reins of his own team, to become a franchise guy of another team.
Yeah, but see, I think just he and MJ got along so well, and he had a lot of respect for MJ, that as long as they're winning titles, I think that's all that matters to Pip. I think that was the way it was anyway.
Yeah.
And I will say this, if they do get the five in a row, I think that's when Pippen may bounce, and I even think that's when MJ might have called it quits.
I was going to say, do you think that MJ... I mean, I think at that time in his state of mind, you know, it's starting to wear on him a little bit. You know, he's what?
He'd be 32 after he wins five titles.
That's what, 12, 13 years in the league?
Something like that.
I think he actually retires a little bit earlier, you know, without going to baseball.
So, well, I'm saying he retires end of 95 season, and then Sonics the champions in 96.
So 95, you know, was when he returned.
Oh, you wanted to return.
Well, that's when he does return. That's when he, you know...
Oh, that's when he returns, yeah.
But in the courtside zone...
Well, in the courtside zone, he's just won his fifth championship.
Interesting.
For me, in my courtside zone. But that's it. I think that's where the Bulls dynasty ends. I don't think they get six titles.
Does Phil stay on board?
I don't think Phil stays. What? Actually, you know what? I'm going to tip Phil staying for maybe a year or two. Because he was a lot younger back then, Phil.
By Jordan not retiring... You know, basically, the Wizards era never happens.
Thank God.
MJ, you know, gets his jersey retired in Chicago. I think he retires around 96, maybe pushes it out to 97. But I also think that they don't win those years. You know, yeah, if he's still around 97, it's that whole weird phase where your franchise guy is still there, but the team's turning a new corner. They're looking for new players to bring in, you know, young blood to... help push the franchise ahead towards the future. If MJ doesn't retire, Karl Malone, John Stockton get a ring.
That is true. Gary Payton, Sean Kemp get a ring.
So 98, Utah get a ring.
I also think too, you've got to factor in, you're like in your little courtside zone there. You're saying he's playing on till what, 96, 97?
Yeah, I'm saying 97. He's hanging them up. So
okay. Well, I think for the last 2 years, surely a veteran out there, a star veteran, has got to want to play with him.
True.
I mean, wouldn't you want to play with the...
I think Reggie Miller gets a shot at a title as well. I think he gets, you know, the whole Lakers-Indiana series, I think, you know, that's maybe becomes Reggie's second chance at a title. They still lose that, but I think Indiana Pacers Utah NBA Finals.
Wow, wouldn't have that been boring?
Could you imagine?
What about the rematch of Drexler and MJ?
Well, yeah.
That would have been something to see. I mean, Drexler was hungry.
Do you have any other notes on what if Michael Jordan never retired?
I just think he would have been the difference every time. That's why he went 6-for-6 in the NBA Finals.
And he never wears the number 45?
No, that never happened.
That never happens. The famous press conference, I'm back, never happened. I mean, granted, you know, there's going to be some more memorable moments, you know, happen and take place if he doesn't retire the first time. But think of all the ones when he came back that would never happen. The final shot may never happen in Utah.
Yeah, it actually makes me feel a bit weird. It really does. Like, I'm just sort of here in a funk, you know, just...
Nick Anderson never makes the steal from Jordan from behind, you know, like...
It's really weird to think about, actually.
And the craziest thought to me is the second three-peat never happens.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think they stay on five titles. I think five would have taken the absolute gas out of them, like ran the tank absolutely dry.
But I think we look at MJ a whole different light if he doesn't retire as well. I think they only win four. I think the fifth one is just too much to ask.
I have heard Horace Grant say that if he hadn't retired, they would have won five chips.
Yeah.
The dude played on the team. So he's got a better idea than any of us. I'll say it for the millionth time. Jordan, is the difference every time he's in the NBA Finals.
Whoa!
Welcome to the Courtside Zone. Shaquille O'Neal became a free agent after the 95-96 NBA season. In the summer of 1996, Shaquille O'Neal was named to the United States Olympic basketball team and was later part of the gold medal winning team in the 96 Olympics in Atlanta. While the Olympic basketball team was training in Orlando, the Orlando Sentinel published a poll that asked whether the Magic should fire then-coach Brian Hill if that were one of O'Neal's conditions for returning. 82% answered no. O'Neal had a power struggle while playing under Hill. He said the team just didn't respect him. Another question in the poll asked, is Shaq worth $115 million in reference to the amount of the Magic's offer? 91.3% of the responses was no. O'Neal's Olympic teammates rode him hard over the poll. He was also upset that the Orlando media implied O'Neal was not a good role model for having a child with his longtime girlfriend with no immediate plans to marry. O'Neal compared his lack of privacy in Orlando to feeling like a big fish in a dried up pond. O'Neal also learned that Hardaway considered himself a leader of the Magic and did not want O'Neal making more money than him. On the team's first full day at the Olympics in Atlanta, it was announced that O'Neal would join the LA Lakers on a 7-year, $121 million contract. He insisted he did not choose the Lakers for the money, saying, I'm tired of hearing about money, 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 money. I just want to play the game, drink Pepsi, wear Reebok. The Lakers won 56 games during the 96-97 season. O'Neal averaged 26 points, 12 rebounds in his first season with the Lakers. What if Shaquille O'Neal never left Orlando?
I've got to say, it's still freaking me out, all this.
We're in the Courtside Zone, man.
This Courtside Zone, man. It seriously is freaking me out thinking about all this stuff. Look, I'm going to say in this Courtside Zone, Shaq never leaves Orlando. There's no friction. There's no friction between him and Penny. There's a lot of winning. There's a lot of Shaq dominance. He's going to be entering his prime. I got to think he wins with Penny. And let's not forget, there's no injuries here with Penny. No microfracture knee surgery. This is, as BG likes to put it, the perfect storm. I've got to think they win three titles together.
Wow.
This whole Brian Hill thing, I think eventually, I just think Shaq and Phil were meant to be together in a coaching player sense. I really do. I think after, like we said, after the Bulls win the five, maybe I said, you know, Phil sticks around for 1 or 2 years. I think that's when he goes to Orlando because Phil's always liked Shaq, loved the way he's played. And I think another thing is players would want to come to Orlando and play with Shaq and Penny and take less money. I think that's how he gets three titles. As well as his dominance and his MVP play. The sad thing is the Lakers wouldn't have the three titles.
Yeah.
That's what I honestly think would have happened if he'd stayed in Orlando. I think Orlando would have at least three chips in the trophy case. You know, Penny's enjoying playing with Shaq. He's enjoying collecting the rings and all the good stuff that goes with it. I just got to think that's how it would have been.
So I was thinking that if Shaq never goes to the Lakers and stays with Orlando, then he never gets the tutelage of Magic Johnson in his rookie year.
Oh, that's interesting.
So he's never swayed that way. So because of that, he's a little bit more reckless, and maybe the tension between him and Penny, you know, is a little bit more visible, and maybe eventually pushes Penny out of town. But let's say Penny stays, you know, they somehow manage to work out their differences. If Shaq stays in Orlando, I don't think Drexler ever gets traded to Houston, and Orlando win the title in 94-95.
Really? See, I was thinking a bit later.
Because that means you're asking a rookie Robert Horry to step in. And don't get me wrong, rookie Robert Horry, fantastic. Jump out the gym, but clearly not the classy vet. I mean, you've got to talk about that season. I mean, the finals is one thing, but there were games that year that Drexler, you know, helped carry that Houston team. As good as Olajuwon was, as good as the support players were in that series, but...
Oh, yeah, Drexler was massive.
Yeah. I still think that Orlando, they lose in the conference finals that next year to the 72 Bulls win season. But Orlando would then look to bounce back and pulling out some trades. So it's 1996. You know, Shaq and Penny are still together. You know, they've just come off winning their first title. You know, they didn't get the two-peat. They lose to the 72 Bulls. Free agency is upon us. Barkley forces his way out of Phoenix with his sign and trade. Signs with Orlando. In doing so, Orlando have to give up Penny and draft picks. But Orlando get a look at what many NBA fans out there wanted to see with, you know, a sort of Weber-Shaq combination. But, you know, it's a Barkley-Shaq combination. And, you know, they are tight friends now. So it's not a far stretch of the imagination that there may be something on the cards. Being with no solid point guard, Orlando then signs free agent Kenny Anderson. At the time, in 96, was averaging 17 points and 8 assists a game. So he signs for less and signs with Orlando to run the ship. And Orlando really kind of have the first big three before Miami. In return, in saying that, you know, by Shaq never signing with the Lakers, never leaving Orlando, it also changes the fortunes of the LA Lakers. So they miss out on, you know, the big Shaqnosis. But in return, the Lakers sign Alonzo Mourning and try to pair him up with, you know, the crop of young stars in Cedric Ceballos, Nick Van Exel, Eddie Jones, and a young Kobe Bryant. But maybe Kobe doesn't get traded. Maybe Kobe stays in Charlotte. So in the courtside zone, Shaq gets a title, possibly two. The whole question marks behind, you know, people's where they stand with superstars teaming up comes into question a lot earlier than what it did with LeBron, Bosh, Wade. And maybe Shaq gets, you know, two titles in Orlando.
Oh, it would have been very interesting to see Barkley and Shaq team up. I mean, no one's getting a rebound.
No way. And the best thing is, like, you know, Shaq's going to eat up anything inside. Barkley had a great mid-range outside game.
Yeah, he did.
He's going to spread the floor. So, you, like, who do you guard? Anything inside, Shaq's throwing down. Barkley, I mean, look, he was a superstar for a reason. You know, Shaq stays in Orlando, Barkley signs, Barkley gets a ring.
Yeah, that's sort of like what on earth said would happen. You know, players would want to come and play with Shaq. You'd be thinking of, like, oh, this guy's 24, 25, you know, 26, killing the league. I can help this guy. We can win a championship.
How's this for a twist, though? Dwayne Wade never gets a title.
Well,
no Shaq, Wade never gets a title. Miami never win that year.
Man, I'm telling you, this is freaking me out here. Oh man, it's freaky. It just gets you thinking. It's I hope it gets all the listeners thinking. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Whoa!
Welcome to the Courtside Zone. Grant Hill, after the first six seasons of his career, before his ankle injury, Hill had acquired 9,393 points, 3,417 rebounds, and 2,720 assists. Oscar Robertson, Larry Bird, and LeBron James are the only players in league history to eclipse these numbers. What if Grant Hill was never injured? The numbers are off the charts, you know, this early in his career. Six seasons with Detroit, but not all equaling success. You know, a young stud, you know, the future of the league. You know, Grant Hill drinks Sprite. You know, 94, they missed the playoffs. 95, they missed the playoffs. But you can see what's building. You see what's going on in Detroit. You know, all-star selections, you know, praise and public spotlight are happening to Grant Hill. You know, 96, Detroit make the playoffs. You know, the first time since the Piston Bad Boys had been playing out in Motor City. You know, they get bounced in the first round. 97 rolls around, bounced in the first round. 98, they miss the playoffs. 99, a first round exit. And this is the moment where Grant Hill becomes the 2000 version of LeBron James. Soured by not winning in Detroit, Grant Hill forces a sign and trade to Miami. Grant Hill becomes the point forward of the league, you know, taking over the role of Scottie Pippen. He joins forces with Tim Hardaway and Alonzo Mourning. The Heat never lose that series to New York on that Allen Houston shot. The Spurs never get Bruce Bowen, and it costs them a title because they don't have that defensive stopper. And the new Big Three, the new Miami Heat, beat the Knicks with a battered Patrick Ewing in the lockout year and take down the Spurs to win their first franchise title. What do you got for me, Vin Rock?
So you're telling me he gets disgruntled?
Gets disgruntled. I mean, look, let's look at it. You know, first two seasons in the league, they've missed the playoffs. You know, Grant Hill's winner is coming out of the Duke program in college. You know, 96-97, both first round exits. I mean, he's looking like a young T-Mac at this stage. You know, then for some reason they missed the playoffs altogether in 98. So frustrating is really building. And Grant Hill's like, you know what? I'm going to do everything I can this offseason to get us there, to get us, you know, to the promised land. 99 rolls around. Another first round exit. Heartbreaking. Grant Hill's had enough. Detroit's not getting the help he needs. Grant Hill becomes LeBron James. Makes the decision to go sign in Miami.
And he's hated by one and all.
And becomes hated. You know, it doesn't become this. You know, the Orlando years never happen. You know, he never has those injuries, but he never goes to Orlando.
It's interesting.
His Phoenix years never happen. His Clippers years, well, hey, they barely happened. Zing!
I don't know. For me, I always thought Grant Hill's biggest mistake was leaving Detroit.
At that stage, though, you know, Detroit were looking to unload him because, you know, they're looking to go in a different direction.
Yes, but in our courtside zone, that doesn't have to be.
That's true.
So in my courtside zone, Allen Houston stays.
Stays in Detroit?
Stays in Detroit.
Ooh.
I also think the Pistons land Alonzo Mourning.
Ooh.
That would have, in my courtside zone, that's Detroit's big three. I don't think he gets a title, though.
I was going to say, I think he gets one. I think he just gets the one. And that's the lockout year. He gets the lockout year title. That's it.
I think he gets MVP. I think he wins All-Star MVPs. I think he's up there in...
So in your courtside zone, he becomes Charles Barkley.
He becomes Barkley. He becomes George Gervin. He becomes Artis Gilmore. Whereas they had really good teams. I know Barkley made the finals. But I see them... The Pistons surrounding Hill with guys like Mourning, Houston stays. They pick up a few other pieces here and there. But he just can't get over that hill. Pardon the pun.
Ba-da-boom. Zing!
I mean, I really wanted to give him a title in my courtside zone, but I just really feel like, as great as he was before he was injured, I never felt like he was a guy who could...
Carry a team?
Yeah, carry and get the job done when needed to. And I honestly think Allen Houston leaving hurt them. So in my world, he stays. And I think getting a guy like Alonzo would have been just awesome. And then there's no kidney problems for Alonzo. Yeah, but I just don't see a title in the courtside zone for Grant Hill, unfortunately. MVPs, yes. All-Star MVPs, yes. Maybe a Defensive Player of the Year. Dream team still. But can't get that ring.
Wow, that's cool. Whoa!
The Courtside Zone. Irvin Magic Johnson. After a physical before the 91-92 NBA season, Johnson discovered that he had tested positive for HIV. In a press conference held on November the 7th, 1991, Johnson made a public announcement that he would retire immediately. He stated that his wife Cookie and their unborn child did not have HIV, and that he would dedicate his life to battle this deadly disease. Johnson initially said that he did not know how he contracted the disease, but later acknowledged that it was through having multiple sex partners during his playing career. Johnson's HIV announcement became a major news story in the USA, and in 2004 was named an ESPN's 7th most memorable moment over the past 25 years. Many articles praise Johnson as a hero, and former U.S. President George W. Bush said, "For me, Magic is a hero for anyone who loves sports." What if Magic Johnson never had AIDS?
Obviously, I think Magic would have played well, well into his late 30s. I think, as he showed when he came back in 96, I think it was, I think eventually he would have made a move to power forward. He was just that big and that tall and that skillful to do it. I think the Lakers, I don't think they win another chip with him. I really don't. Not with him at power forward. It all depends who they could surround him with. You know, I racked my brain to try and think who would they could get. And I think a team with the Magic Johnson, they're going to be very competitive because he just makes so many guys around him that much better.
I think if he plays on, they look to replace Kareem. Like, I think they look to bring in someone to replace...
Well, when he got HIV, though, Divac was the centre.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, so Divac is like 23, something like that. So he's going to be around. But they're going to be competitive, so I don't think they can get better through the draft. I didn't give the coach much thought because I'm trying to picture who would play with Magic. And you know, it can't be Barkley because Barkley plays power forward. And you know, would a Pippen come there after leaving the Bulls after five chips? Possibly.
Would Drexler make the bounce?
Now, that is a big possibility. But again, you've got to either sign him or trade for him. It's just... I guess I got stuck on the fact that I fell in love with Magic playing into his late 30s. That's because we're all robbed because of this freaking disease. So I honestly just think he'd be playing, averaging his 15, 9 and 8, you know, at 36, 37, 38, and just playing with a Lakers team that is thereabouts playoff-wise, but, you know, as a first or second round exit and a few surprise wins here and there. I just can't think of who they would pair up with him.
In my courtside zone, Vince, I agree with a lot of things you said. I think with the dwindling support cast, Magic becomes, and you know, the more pressure and the more that's asked of Magic, I think he becomes the second player in NBA history to average a triple double for a season.
Whoa, that's at that age? Or are you talking 92?
I'm talking 92, 93 season.
Because you've got to remember, he was 32.
Yep. I'm saying if Magic Johnson doesn't have AIDS, HIV awareness around the globe stalls about 15 to 20 years.
That is possibly true. Let's just say it's not AIDS, it's HIV at this stage.
Yep. I'm just saying the awareness and, you know, the shock that, you know, one of the world's biggest stars, you know, that never happens.
Yeah, I've got to agree.
I do think that he does still retire early, though.
Really? See, I don't because he just, you know, he loved playing.
All right. So he retires early from knee problems, and it's the same ones that restricted him in the 92 Olympics. But, you know, he hasn't taken the time off now. He's playing through injury, and the knees are starting to take a bit of a toll. I mean, we've got to remember where medicine was. And, you know, sports injuries was at that time as well. It's not so advanced. So I actually think that, you know, the knee problems are brought on a little bit sooner due to his now active years. He retires about a year earlier, but still has his Orlando All-Star game. Still, that game still happens. You know, the MVP game in Orlando still happens. It maybe doesn't mean as much, but maybe it's more of, you know, he's coming to his end. As far as his playing career, he retires before the Dream Team. And because Magic retires, because of, you know, knee injury, Larry Bird doesn't play either. Because Magic had a lot to do with convincing Bird to, you know, to play in that squad. Magic, without HIV, he doesn't become the media mogul he is today. You know, he doesn't have that drive. He said in his press conference, you know, that he was going to do whatever he can to fight this disease. So without that push, without that, you know, determination, Magic Johnson is then looked upon more like MJ and his Wizards management.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. He still goes down as one of the greats, but
I don't see that.
In my courtside zone, this is the outcome of Magic Johnson.
Yikes.
So retires before the Dream Team. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, never on the Dream Team.
See, I've got my Magic plan right through to 37, 38. And leaving the game, I mean, he's already a Laker legend, but a true, true living legend. Big farewell tour in his last year. And you know what? Possibly with him playing that long, maybe Kareem might have got a shot at coaching.
I mean, the thing is, you know, Magic wore those big knee pads. He wore them for a reason. I mean, people forget, you know, he battled the Celtics. He battled the Pistons. You know, they weren't all wins for Magic.
Oh, look, even in the 91 finals, they said you could see Magic had slowed down a lot.
Think of the 98, the 88 playoffs even, you know. The Utah and those Dallas series, I mean, they weren't easy wins for LA. I mean, I think both series both went to 4-3, so, you know, he's very battle-tested, but, you know, taking a toll on the body.
But see, this is why I struggle to see who would play with Magic. Like, it's not easy to surround him with guys. Like, I think we still could have got a Nick Van Exel because we picked him with a second-round pick, like pick 36.
Yeah, I think you miss out on Eddie Jones, but...
Absolutely miss out on Eddie Jones. But that 91 Lakers team, if Magic isn't running the show, they don't make the finals.
But do you pick a Nick Van Exel with a Magic Johnson?
That's my point. Like, you can pick him, but he doesn't fit with Magic at power forward.
Yeah, unless he's back up, you know.
Yeah, it's because, you know, Nick wasn't called Nick the Quick for nothing. He wants to run. He doesn't want to walk the ball up and throw it down to Magic.
Do Lakers still sign Sabalos?
He just doesn't fit. Because again, another guy who can run. Yeah, it's a bit like the Spurs are today. They pick their spots, obviously, but
You know who would fit? Forgive me for the irony in his comments, but Karl Malone would fit.
Yeah, but they both play power forward.
But Magic's a point forward. And didn't shy away from that position.
True.
I mean, you talk about, you know, at that stage, we're talking about a young Karl Malone, you know, who get out and run. Who you don't want to get in the way of?
I just, you know, you put Magic at point guard, I can surround him with guys.
Yeah.
Put him at power forward, I just pit go there to play small forward. That's the only guy I could see. You, like you said, you miss out on Eddie Jones. Even if you do pick a Nick the Quick, still doesn't fit. It's so hard to surround Magic as a point forward. Power forward, it's... Pip's the only guy I got that I would have liked to have seen him play with Magic while he was still playing, but... Even the two guys, like, I like the Drexel one because he wasn't such a... Well, even in his 30s, Drexel was still running.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That is one I would love to just get a flux capacitor, get some time travel happening and say, Magic, stay away from that one. We want you around for a few more years yet, son.
Now, Vince, I think it's time we head out of the courtside zone. I think it's time we come back to this day and age. And
can we? Because I'm freaking out.
So let's jump in the time warp. And head back to today.
Whoa!
Oh, good to be back. You feeling a bit sick from the time warp, mate?
Jesus. What's in that time warp?
Man, it's good to be back in reality.
Yeah, I was freaking out.
It'd be great to hear some more thoughts on these what-ifs from our courtside listeners. Because really, you could go really in-depth with this. Like, you know, we're touching on lightly on, you know, some of our thoughts, but... If you have some thoughts out there, hit us up.
Seriously, tell me who you pair with Magic Johnson. I'm telling you, it's not that easy. When he's playing power forward point guard, you can surround him with anyone.
Hit us up on the webpage, www.crtste. Leave us some comments under the link for the show, guys. We'd love to hear your thoughts on what you think would happen in your courtside zone.
Yeah, let us know if you really got your thinking, because it's got us thinking, it's got me thinking big time. I'm actually not going to get a gun and think about it.
Here it comes!
Ball,